Is this thing on?
It's on. Hello? We on. We live.
Oh, we back. Okay.
We back. We
oh, back. People still listen.
Yeah, we back.
Hey.
We back. Hey. What's it from again?
We back. Oh, it's delightful.
John. What's that? We back.
What's the song?
We back. We back and we back. Is that John Travolta?
Yes, but you made me think so hard for that.
Really? Was not.
That,
was
it, oh, you did not. You didn't even do the harmony even almost correctly. But yes, my brain looked through the depths of my music knowledge.
You
and
do
I
it.
Pulled it back.
We back and we back. We back and we back. I don't know.
Oh
I,
my God, I'm gonna shoot you.
Stop. I don't know. I don't know what I'm so missing out to. We back and we back. I don't know.
Like, sure. The thing is, I'm trying to say it, but then I keep hearing your version.
Yeah.
And then it leaves me. What's the song? And it though?
Go, it's Chance the Rapper. It's yeah. I can't remember what the next thing is. I just know it's We Back and We Back. But I don't know what we go into after that. I'm not sure what the oh, and the way that worked it, and it makes me crazy. And the way that makes it, do it and do it daisy. And then,
to make the song, and I said, and I get another. Brother, better than I had that deal. Yeah. That is a song. But the way you said, and we back, and we back. And
you
we
couldn't
back.
Tell. You couldn't tell what you're saying.
Jesus, you hurt my brain. Anyway, we got there in the end. We got there in the end.
I'm in like quite a musical mood today. I'm like in a. I've been singing songs all day. I don't know. I just, you know, sometimes you're like in a singing mood. Like you wake up and you like you just start, you put on like a Disney soundtrack, or you put like Guijo songs on. Or do you ever have that?
Did you maybe the only time I ever see people singing like uncontrollably is they either just exercised and they're feeling real good. Oh no, sorry. They either exercise and they're feeling real good, they're about to go out. You know, the prep? Do you remember what we used to do for prep?
With like t-shirt time kind of stuff.
I'll tell the story. But I'll and then the third one is when they're eating really yummy food, like really, really good food. They just sort of break. That's the only one.
Yeah.
But I was saying, do you remember when we were young and we'd be like get ready for a night out? Do you remember what we used to do?
Tell me.
You don't remember? There was like a solid 2-3 years of our lives where we'd always play. It was two songs. It was Teenage Crime. And it was, because tonight's going to be a good night.
I do that, man. Dude, we had to play that every time like, we went out.
Every single prep, like our pregame. That was our pregame.
And I remember we couldn't play that song unless we knew it was going to be a good night as well. So it was like, it was going to be like a casual night in Rosebank. Go and play that song. But if you're going to go to a party, then you go, it's a nice good night. Yeah.
No, you played that and you had your, what was the clothing label? Akka Joe's?
Oh,
your Akka Joe's shirt or your Hilton wear.
We used to go through AB and Zach's cupboard.
Oh yeah, we used to go through their cupboard like, okay, what fits me? What did you buy? What is cool?
I don't know why they're just like the most stylish kids around, but we just go to their house and just wear all their clothes. I mean, like we'd all be just go out and just dress in their
yeah. Their why stuff. Do they have so much swag?
I don't know. They're just
no why? Because they were the first guys that were actually friends with girls.
Maybe that's what it was.
Do you know what I mean? Like, but like, hang out with them and be like, hey, let's go shopping. Like, they would do very like normal things with girls that wasn't in the pursuit of their attention, if that's the best.
Yeah, they just hang out of them, and then so they got.
And they would always
advice.
Put them on. Yeah, they would always put them on.
That makes sense.
So we'd always be one step behind them. Yeah, I do remember that being.
I remember that.
So if you guys are listening to this, younger ones, it's good to just be friends with girls.
Yeah, it's always good.
Just friends.
It's always good to have like a balanced gender percentage around. That's a good idea.
And hey, look, gender, it's actually very specific these days. So whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. Like, I mean, whatever gender that you want to have.
Whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think it's good to have, if you have like masculine energy around, it's good to have feminine energy around as well.
I like how you did that. That was very academic and specific.
Thank you. Very I appreciate correct. That. I was quite
very correct. No one can counsel you.
I was very particular about my wording. Because I feel like masculine energy, when it's too, and there's too much masculine energy around, there's no counterbalance. That's when things start getting aggro and people start fighting and whatever. Is if there's feminine energy around, then that aggro testosterone gets like taken down a little bit and people act more civilized and more calm. So I think that's always important.
The pedestal.
I do have a question for you though.
Yeah.
That was actually given to us by a long-time listener. Shout out, Rachel. So when is it okay to pull a sickie at work? Because obviously we're all trying to be productive individuals and you want to get ahead in our careers and stuff. When is it okay to pull a sickie? Makes sense.
Do you want me to give the actual code away right now?
Yeah, give it away.
Because I'm going to give you the proper code.
Give me the code.
Like this is...
Give me a gem.
We low-key should be charging for this, but I'm giving you the proper code of...
Drop.
The adequate way to call in for your paid sick leave. Now, first thing we need to establish. Sick leave doesn't come out of thin air. You earn that shit.
Okay.
It is earned. A lot of people... I was actually with a couple of mates the other day, and we were sort of discussing sick leave. And this guy was like, you know, I can count how many times, a friend of mine, I can count on my one hand the amount of times I've been sick. And we were like, well, you're not, that's dumb. That's, you're an idiot.
Why would you do that? You're working yourself.
You've got hundreds of hours of sick leave. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So anyway, I was only saying that to say, just remember, you earn your sick leave. It's earned. Number two, sick leave. Can't do a Monday, can't do a Friday.
Yeah. That's never a thing.
It's non-negotiable. And if you do Monday or Friday, you got to take it all the way. So what I mean by take it all the way is either you go see a doctor on Monday or Friday, get that note. So there's no debate. There's no chatter.
Yeah.
Number one. Sure. Or you got to double up on the sick day and go get the note the next day. So what if you're sick on Monday, you got to be sick on Tuesday. Like you got to let people know you're sick.
Or you can't come in on Tuesday.
You can't fake it.
That's a giveaway.
Yeah. Now, the rest of them, it's always got to be Wednesday, Thursday.
Wednesday, Thursdays.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, and preferably when you're not busy. So like when things kind of slow down, quiet down, you know, and also try to be strategic, you know, maybe you got to do laundry, the dentist, and see the physio. Like line that up on that day.
Get it all in one day. So it's like, all that done. Don't have to worry about it so much. Yeah, that makes sense. But I think the question was, when is it okay to lie about being sick to take a sickie? Like, is it ever okay? Maybe it's never okay. But are there certain events in life that happens when it's okay to take a sickie?
Now, see, I don't think anyone ever lies to just lay in bed and chill and whatever. Because I think we play with burnout too much.
Yeah.
And like, if you've been working flat out for weeks on weeks, like maybe you deserve a day off just cause. Like maybe you do actually need to just recharge. Maybe it could be, you know, some people think I'm taking a mental health day means I'm just going to sit in bed all day. Maybe it's just your house is in disarray and you just want to organize yourself a bit better. Or, you know, you just want to, you know, knock off some things that aren't work-related, or you actually do just want to sit and recharge, and maybe you've been getting 4 or 5 hours sleep for the last 20 days and you just want to lay in bed and get a 12, you know, 15-hour sleep to get yourself back for the next day. So
yeah, that makes sense.
I don't ever think people just straight up lie about it so they can go to the beach and drink all day. I don't think that's a thing.
I think that's definitely a thing, first of all. I mean,
you reckon guys booze up?
Oh, 100%. I know people who've done that. And not something.
No, I'm not saying hungover. I'm saying I'm taking the sick day so I can booze up.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly.
Oh.
People go like,
I know nothing about that.
Dude, like, oh man, it's gonna be a nice day tomorrow. Let's just get fucked up. It's like, dude, but I got work. Yeah.
With the sick day.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, see, I know nothing about that to my future employer.
Oh, yeah, okay, no.
But anyone who listens to this podcast eventually that I will work with in the future, I know nothing about that.
I've never done it myself.
I completely remove my hand.
I think I've pulled a sickie maybe twice before and like a dishonest sickie, and I felt so bad about it. I don't think I'll ever do it again. Like, honestly, it like really rocked me to my moral core. But I think both times it was for job interviews for other companies.
Oh, no, that's fine.
And then, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it would be a different space. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the dentist? The dentist takes many forms.
Yeah.
That's a standard one. Oh, yeah, I had to go see a dentist.
Okay. But you take the whole day off for the dentist, though.
Oh, no, you got to. You know, my dentist is 45 minutes away.
Ah, I see. Okay, so it's...
And who knows what I have to do after I see him.
Yeah.
I've got to take the day off. Hey, I might come back in and do a couple hours, but like, who knows what will happen. And once again, it goes back to a fundamental... the thing I said right at the beginning. Sick leave is earned.
Yeah.
You're not stealing it from anyone.
Sure. It's your day to take off.
You earned it. It literally sits there on a balance sheet being like, we have lost this money already.
I see.
Like, that's how the company budgets for it.
Okay, so you might as well take it then.
Exactly. Well, man, I was speaking to a friend of ours, close friend of mine, and he was like, oh, I'd never leave a place with sick leave left.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Like, when I'm about to leave, I just start taking it off.
And then you say, but then you have to fake sick. How do you fake sick? Like,
follow the protocols.
What are the protocols?
The protocols is never on a Monday or Friday.
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, once every 3 weeks, then it goes undetected.
Ah, okay.
Never found. Once a month actually is the best way.
Yeah.
But once every 3 weeks, they'll never even see it coming.
But I had a trick for this. So basically what you do is you don't message them at like 8 or 9, you message them at like 4.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah, sorry, I should have said that. Yeah.
You
got to come in hot.
You have to miss him at 4 a.m.
Oh, this guy hasn't slept.
Yeah. Like, I can't sleep. My stomach's been going crazy all day.
Sorry. And you're right there. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
You got to go with the stomach.
Because no one can play with stomach. Because
stomach isn't a conversation anyone wants to have.
Yeah.
No one wants to talk about stomachs.
What do you mean your stomach? Oh, I've been shitting myself for 4 hours. No one wants to hear that.
Nah,
that conversation. No. So you say, you've messed him at 4 a.m. or as early as possible, 6 a.m. I said, listen, I've been awake all night. My stomach is going crazy. I hope it's better by the time I have to get in. But I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be good by that time.
A rest up.
Yeah, if you want to add like an extra detail, you say like, something's going crazy, both ends kind of stuff.
Oh, the both ends? You've got to be careful. That's like a superpower.
But then people,
that's a super chat. Yeah. You got to save that one. That's like...
With great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly. The both ends one? Oh. You actually can't come in. That's a 2-day sacrifice.
I think that's if you need... I think if you like want a holiday away... If you want like a cheap holiday, like cheap Airbnb, because you know that they're not in demand.
If you want to catch a long weekend, get off for a week.
Yeah.
Just both ends.
Both ends. Because also if it's, you say stomach's going crazy, they say like, oh, this person's just hungover. But you say both ends, they go, woof, that's a bug that I don't want anywhere near me. So please don't come in at all. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
And the thing is, everyone knows the experience of both ends.
Yeah.
It's not to be played with.
It's the worst thing possible. It's not a joke. So you can't screw with that. There's no way you can screw
it. It happened to me on the first day of boarding school.
Oh, yeah?
When I first moved in, or the first week I moved in, something happened. I was just dying 3 a.m. in the Ushas.
Are you serious? Dude, I had no idea this happened.
Both ends. No one knew. I was awake by myself, dying.
Yo, that's horrible.
Like, I vomited on my floor, and then I vomited in the bathroom, and I was just both ends. Like, sit, turn, blah. Just vomiting into my own shit. Yeah, it was not great.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
It was a rough experience. Yeah. It's top five.
I can imagine.
Top five of like the most disgusting experiences of my life.
I think the worst thing that I've had, because I can't remember the last time I had both ends. I think I was too young. But I do remember one day being so hungover. 14, yeah. I was so hungover. It was like at university when I was sitting on the toilet and then I felt stuff coming up and I was like, oh no, I can't do anything about this. And then I can't believe I'm telling this on the podcast. This is disgusting. I'm gonna have to cut this out. And then just chandering on my feet in the public bathroom and then just sitting there because I can't move now. I've still got to finish what's coming out of my stomach. So I'm just sitting there and I'm just like twiddling the vomit between my toes. Just like, this is the worst thing that's ever. No, it's nothing. And you know, vomit has like that real thick, like salty
that stickiness
water.
To it. That sticky texture to it. Yeah,
it was
yeah.
like a weird texture.
That residual.
Yeah.
Wait, it was in your feet. Wait, why are you barefoot in the public toilet?
Well, I'm wearing slops. Because I was going to shower.
Why are you wearing slops in a public toilet?
Because I was going to shower after. Because I was in the university bathrooms, in the communal bathrooms.
Oh, I thought you were like at a bar. I thought you were like a public bar.
No. I was hungover the next morning. Oh, dude, it was the worst thing ever.
And it's like that was disgusting.
There's nothing I can do. I can't like get up and clean it because like I'm still trapped.
So what do you do?
Yeah, you just wait till you're done. I was done pooing, and then I had to. Then I have to clean it up.
Oh wait, you were taking a shit this whole time in the story?
Oh yeah, you know that? Oh, yeah, I was doing the whole shit.
I missed that detail.
Oh yeah, oh, no, it was. I was trying to be vague sitting. About it. I'm sitting.
I understand why.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that is rank.
Yes, it was. It was the worst
that
thing.
That is disgusting.
That's ever happened. What the worst
that
thing
was
ever
so
happened?
That was a very disgusting experience.
Yeah, man. So yes, yeah, so wow. That sucked. But.
Yeah, so going back to sickies.
Yeah, avoid
and you know, trying to relate them to mental health.
Yeah.
We kind of took a detour there. Wednesdays, Thursdays, gotta be early, gotta use the stomach.
Yes. Those are all and very, very good tips.
No one can touch you.
Yeah, nothing you can do about that. 100%. Yeah. Something else I wanted to talk about, because I was having this conversation with the Greek guy. Okay. And I was in a room with a Greek guy and an American guy, and then like a bunch of other people from all over the world. And this Greek guy was saying, I find it crazy how in America, someone says they are Mexican American or Greek American or Italian American. They're not just American, they are something American. Whereas in Greece, you're just Greek. No matter what are you Greek, that's your whole thing, right? Yeah. And then I said to this guy, listen, I think you come from a position where your country has existed for like 3,000 years. So you have that kind of heritage and that you can feel like, okay, cool, my people, whatever, have existed for this long. Whereas someone like, as a South African, our country has existed for like 25 years or something along those lines. Like it hasn't existed for like a long time.
In its latest form, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what I mean? Like kind of... I don't think we count before 94.
Yeah, we had no idea what was going on then.
Yeah, exactly. Like, was it really South Africa? I don't know.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know what that was.
And then I started thinking, like, what is our identity? Because, I mean, you're like, you're a Xhosa South African, but now you live in Australia. I'm a half Greek, half whatever South African who now lives in Greece. How much of identity do we hold in ourselves? Like, how much do you think to yourself, I am a South African? Or do you think yourself, I'm Australian? Or I'm Xhosa? What do you think?
Oh, you're going deep here.
Yeah, it's going to get deep.
You're going very deep. Okay, how do I identify my identity? So I think you always try to stick to your roots. First of all, to your Greek friend. Yeah, of course everyone's Greek. Anybody trying to live in Greek no more? Come on, bro. A lot of the countries that sort of deal with these identity, I don't want to say crises, but like identity thoughts. It's because you're in places where there's high migration. America, you know, land of opportunity. It's got high migration population. Similar with Australia, high migration population. Similar with England, high migration population. So I definitely think it is about sort of sticking to your roots or at least understanding your roots. But I think fundamentally, I still strongly identify as a South African, as a Xhosa man. I mean, if you knew things I had to do to be a Xhosa man, you'd hold onto that shit for dear life as well. But I also think that society, or at least society in my world, is moving more towards the individual, that there isn't this sort of like, Hey, you got to come. And that's another thing I used to say to a lot of my friends at the time, particularly like my Black friends. They'd always be like, oh, you got to come home. I'm like, bro, do you think Greek people go to Greece and say, you got to come home to people like Greek people, or Jewish people say to Jewish other people when they go to Israel, hey, man, you got to come home back to Jew. It's like, no, it's just a mindset. So I definitely think that, yeah, we're moving more towards the individual. And look, that's a good and a bad thing. The individual has more choice, but then there can be that loss of culture and identity. I think that's the cost.
Sure.
That we get. Yeah. How would you say you identify with this?
Because I mean, I think like there's, I think you're right. I think as we move towards a more internationalized world, yeah, we've all become like citizens of the world. We travel around, we meet people from all over. But I still hold a lot of stock in the fact that I am South African and I am African, which is also controversial because a lot of people would say, no, you're not African. You may be South African.
They mean girls you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That scene in Mean Girls.
It's like,
Africa, but you're white.
The amount of times people have told me that is, and I say that definitely in being away from home, people go like, dude, but are both your parents from South Africa? It's like, yeah. Did your parents move to South Africa? No. My family's been here for like 300 years.
They were both born there. I've been born there.
Yeah. And like, it's interesting because I think there was an argument for a while. It's like, if you are white, you cannot be African. And I kind of think to myself, like, I was born in South Africa. I was born in Africa, grew up with other African people, listened to African music, listened, you know what I mean? Like, try to learn languages that I would have never learned otherwise. And there's a lot of me that feels very African. But people will tell me that I'm not African. And I think it's like I'm not sure if it's like a woke thing or a... Like no, shut up, whitey. This is not your time. But in my mind, I feel African.
Yeah, so, I think that comes to the ignorance of people who aren't from Africa. You know, like it's almost that typical thing of when I meet. Oh fuck, I hate meeting people who in Australia. I hate meeting people like who know other people from Africa.
Oh yeah.
But do you know Jabuan? I've got a mate in Ghana. You reckon you met him?
Jabuan? Oh, yeah, I know Jabuan. Yeah, 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 I know that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, in Ghana?
Yeah, dude, it's around the corner. Yeah, dude.
Oh, great lad.
Down the road, yeah.
Oh, when jokes meet. Oh, yeah, I'll call him.
Yeah, oh, old Jabuan. What a weird guy, yeah.
These guys have no idea of what Africa entails, South Africa entails. And, you know, particularly South Africa, it's a multinational country.
Yeah,
it's bred from like large sums of migration throughout the years, throughout its existence. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's an ignorant thing. You show me, oh, you're ignorant.
But I mean, a lot of South Africans will say that to me, and I mean, oh yeah, and fair enough. I don't want to sound like
they call you European. Did you? Oh, European.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I don't sound like a whinging white here, like, oh shame, poor white guy who doesn't have an identity. But I mean, but where do I? Me as an individual, where do I say, I identify as an African or I identify as a South African? You know what I mean?
As a European. Yeah. Yeah. I have seen this with a colonizer, European. And you're like, wait, but I embody all those things. Those words aren't.
Sure.
Like I'm speaking from your perspective. You're like, wait, no, not me though. Like I embody everything South Africa is. Why am I getting pulled into this lump sum?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually associated with. Why can't I? And look, dude, that is the great conversation of South Africa now, right? It's the, like, do we just cast out white people and call them all Europeans, or do we try to learn about one another and try to live out Mandela's dream? Sorry to get real deep on you guys right now.
Sure.
But yeah, it's you're dealing with a pretty tough situation. It's, because in certain rooms you're celebrated, in other rooms you're not.
Yeah, 100%. And maybe that's
and the history books did that.
Sure.
Unfortunately, it's unfair.
It's unfair, but as again, I don't want to come off as like a whinging white guy. You know what I mean? Like, but it's a confusing situation. So like, I never want to, like, I don't want to be in a situation where I meet another South African, like I meet like a black South African, and I say, oh, I'm African, or I am South African. And they said, and I offend them by me claiming that connection to the land. Whereas, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, what else do I say?
And look, it would be easy for me right now to go on the one end and be like, yeah, you're not a South African. You weren't people of this nation, but like, it's just way more nuanced than that.
Yeah.
It's just such a cop. It's just so much more nuanced to your situation and to any individual. And, you know, we always talk about that, right? We always talk about, as soon as you start talking in these general terms and you box people in, you're not actually being accurate and true. Do you know what I mean? I can just say, oh, all these white people or all these black people, but then it's just, life is just way more nuanced than that.
That's true. It's not as black and white as that, dude.
No.
But
I think there's definitely rooms you can walk into, and there's black people you can be like, I'm African. And people are like, yes, you are. And there's other rooms you can walk in and you say you're African, and they'd be like, fuck no, you aren't.
Yeah. And that's controversial.
Not a fucking chance.
Which is also fine. Like, I don't mind that if people don't appreciate that. But at the end of the day, as the descendant of colonizers, I'm a South African, as Brad Pitt is American, and as Shane Warne is Australian, and you know what I mean?
Exactly. It's, yeah. But I guess it particularly matters given South Africa's history.
Yes,
like I
of course.
Said, the history books wrote this out. That's your issue. It's that. So they came to South Africa, thought they were going to pull in Australia or in America, but the natives were like, nah, bro, we're here.
Like, no, we're not going to do that.
No, we're here. We're here to rumble.
We're not here to play. Oh, you want us? Oh, yeah, so, you want us to do the farms? No. No, thanks.
No. That's... So, yeah, I mean, look, yeah, maybe being a South African, completely different story if we were, you know, what in Australia, indigenous people account for 2-3% of the entire population.
That's nuts.
So, you know, white guy saying I am Australian.
There's not a lot of people who can be, you can say no.
Exactly. Or, you know, and yeah, it's just one of those things where it's not a conversation that everyone's about to have. But I guess you being in South Africa, being African, being in a country where it is ruled by the majority, it is ruled by the natives of the land, you're just going to deal with, you know, the way the history books were written.
Mm. I mean, yeah.
It's a very, very like interesting and complex situation.
I mean, it's super complex.
Now that I think about it, now that you gave the example of like America, Australia, and then you put it to South Africa, I'm like, whoa.
That is
actually very interesting. Yeah.
Sure.
That is something to ponder on.
And look, I don't want to, look, for me, someone can say I'm European and I have to take that on the chin because I do have another passport. I can go to other places. You know what I mean? That's a thing. So I can take that on the chin. You know?
Yeah, but who do you identify as? Who does Lucas McGregor identify as?
Me, I identify as a South African. I grew up in South Africa. My friends are South African. You know what I mean? Like, it's culturally, what am I if not South African?
Exactly.
Yeah. Am I an English person with a funny accent? Am I a Greek person who can't speak the language?
I think because you come from such a what's the word? Cultural rich society. Like, culture is rich in South Africa.
Dude, so rich.
So people, when people say like I'm South African, there's such a, it's so encompassing, the term of that. Like, you know what I mean? But other countries where the culture isn't that deep, it's just like, yeah, I'm from here.
Yeah.
So like, I can see why you're very proud about this. Why this would ponder on you.
Super passionate. I think about the things that happen in South Africa that happen nowhere else in the world. And we kind of forget about that. Like, I was watching, what's it? That song, and it's that St. Stidian's video where they sing the song at the rugby game. So I was listening to that earlier.
School rugby culture, yeah.
Yeah. And I showed that to my Finnish roommate, and she was watching this. She's like getting goosebumps. She's like, why are they doing this? I'm like, that's just what we had to do every Saturday to watch when we had to watch rugby. She was like, I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. I was like, dude, this is just
no debate. Full uniform. Like, you're there at 2 o'clock.
Where do you get that kind of culture anywhere else in the world? Like, unbelievable. Singing like, I don't know, like hundreds of year-old songs at a rugby game, everyone together singing like in harmonizing. It's an unbelievable experience. And you just don't get that anywhere else.
We'd actually, remember, we used to practice that shit.
I do remember that.
Like, we lost breaks practicing war cries.
Yeah. And you know what?
It was just the thing.
I would never take those breaks back. Because those
do it all over again. Do it again.
Yeah.
You do it all over again, hey? You do it all over again in a heartbeat, actually.
What is the first team field? Mushati Field?
Mushati, yes, Mushati.
Winter afternoon, like 1 o'clock, watching first team. There was a guy next to you, like, grabbing his blazer. He's grabbing your blazer, and you're, like, singing like your life depends on it. It's the most unbelievable thing. It's the most unbelievable experience. I would never, you know what I mean? Like, which is just, like, obviously a very small part of the, I don't know, canvas, yeah, that is South African society and culture.
Yeah, that was the most disappointing thing, or not the most, but it was one of the most disappointing things when I first got to Perth. It's just how there was no like sports fixture culture.
Mm.
Like, kid, you can just do it if you want.
I hate that.
I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
You can't all sit and watch the first team?
It's like, but what do you do with your Saturday afternoons? Like, what do you...
Yeah. And apparently, yeah, you can do whatever you want. I was like, what?
Crazy.
Like, how are you... What?
Yeah.
There's no sense.
I mean, when I went to England, it's like the first team's playing, and there's like 12 people watching. And I'm like, where's the school? Like, what? You know, like, why are they here? This is ridiculous. And like, you miss that. You realize, like, oh, what we have is special. It's different. It's not like anything else, anywhere else.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think when you talk about topics such as identity and who, I always say this, like, what if you walked up to the street or even a friend, you said, who are you? Tough.
How do you answer that? Who are you?
It's a very tough thing to break down.
Well, people ask, what are you? Is your nationality the first thing that comes up, or is it your cultural heritage or your profession, or you know what I mean? Like, when you think, what are you?
Yeah, I think that's something the audience needs to ponder on. I don't know if I can give you the answer right now. I think I need to almost need to sit down and write it down.
Because
I think it's too, how do I say? Yeah, it's just too cheap to give you an off the bat. I am the son of, I work at, I am a profession. It's just like, yeah, who am I really?
Yeah.
Scary, right? Because it's almost like, if you answer that question, do you like who you are? Or are you just who you are? And can you change that? Or actually, can't you change that?
Maybe you can't change who you are. And I mean, do you want to change who you are?
That's scary.
Because I think we're told since we're kids that like you are special. And there's no one else in the world like you. And always be yourself. If you want girls to like you, if you want guys to like you, be yourself and they will like who you are. But what if you shit? What if you shit? What if you just don't have anything to offer, really?
What if it's actual shit?
Yeah, you're just bad.
Like, you give no value.
You give zero value whatsoever. What then? How must you deal with the world then? I think you dye your hair different colors. I think that's what people do. And people don't have actual value. They dye their hair colors or they get facial tattoos. So that, because they can seem interesting.
Yeah, but I'll tell you a deeper one. Yeah. Do they just find the person they like the most and emulate that person? And then the question is, when did that start happening for you as an individual? Were you always the person you exactly want? Or did you start to emulate people around you where you had things you desired about them? And maybe that's not who you are.
But I think that's natural, regardless. Because we met each other when we were 14, and we've known each other for how many of years that is. So we've obviously grown with each other and changed each other and influenced each other in different ways.
Yeah.
So in that sense, of course, there's some alterations happening with the people that you meet in influencing. But then I think it's different to say, I like Donald Glover. I want to be like Donald Glover. I'm going to act like Donald Glover. That's weird.
Yeah, that's a bit different. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think. I mean,
look, I don't have the answers, Sway.
You ain't got the answers, Sway.
I ain't got the answers. I don't have the answers. That's a tough one.
Mm.
Like, who are you? What are you?
What are you?
And can you change it? And are you willing to change it? And what does that mean once it's changed? Or were you always who you were?
I think I've got a little bit of a rebuttal. We can cut it if it's not good. How do you know who you are? How do you know how you come off to other people? So you might think that you're like a really quiet, introverted person, but to someone else, you think you're actually really gregarious and confident and out there. But you don't really know how people perceive you unless you ask them. And if you ask them, people always have agendas. So you never know if their answer is correct or not. So it's always an interesting conversation. Like, how do you actually come off? Do you know how you come off? And do you know what kind of person you are? Because you're only the person that you are in your own head.
Okay, we're going deep in the rabbit hole now. So are you saying, how do you know who you are? Or how do you know who you are to others?
Well, so I think there's, okay, that's a very good distinction. So if who you are is how other people perceive you, then you actually have no idea who you are. Or if it's who you are is what you have in your own head, then you know exactly who you are.
Yeah.
But if there's no way of determining this option of that personing of who you are in your own head, besides how other people perceive you, then how do you ever know who you actually are?
So what I'll say to that is, how you know who you are is based on your actions and who you be, like who you see you are, because you're your harshest critic. You know what to say to yourself to put yourself in a slump. You know the things you need to say to pump yourself up. Now, when it comes to how people perceive you, it doesn't actually matter.
Does it not matter?
I think it's a question that doesn't need to be answered, or at least a question you don't need to worry about, because ultimately it's not really in your control.
Yes.
Like, how people perceive you is how they perceive you.
It's done. Sure.
It's not, I don't think it's an answer you should try to define, if that makes sense.
So it's about being true to yourself in whatever you're doing, regardless.
Yeah, and figure it, like, look, life will give you sort of signals, and like, you'll start to know, like, you know, if you come to work every day with your shirt off, and you say, this is who I am, you know, societal kind of, nah, not really.
Nah, dude.
You might be having a mental breakdown.
Get back in the box.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm.
But to try to define yourself based on how you're perceived, I don't think that's real, because you can always be perceived, like you said, people always have agendas.
Yeah.
You can always be perceived in a multitude of ways. You know, you can say something, and one person can find the humor in it, one person can be offended, one person could be completely interested, one person could be uninterested. But you know sort of the value of what you're speaking and why it's true to you.
So actually who you are are your intentions.
Yeah, and your actions.
And your actions.
Yeah. So not just what you think, but what you do. Because a lot of people want things or believe they deserve things because of who they think they are, but then they execute things completely different to that person who they think, you know, they think they are. I think I could run a business. I think I could lead a team. But there's no leadership to be found when you have to act in those positions. So it is all encompassing. And again, it's a very complex question. It's an extremely complex question, actually. I don't want to see, there's so much nuance into who is, what makes an individual its truest form and its truest self. And most people spend their entire lives figuring that out.
Deep.
Very deep. So yeah, who are you and what are you?
Think about that.
I think we need to let people, guys, think about that. If you're washing your dishes, if you're driving your car, if you're staring at a spreadsheet you've been staring at for the last hour, think about that.
Love that.
I think we're going to leave him there.
Cool.
Here ends the reading. As Mr. Pinnock would say.
Amen. Okay, love you, bye.
Love you, bye. Cheers.